Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading the chapter, the Pandavas Retire Timely, text 33. Pritapi anushrucha dananjayo ditam Nasham yadunam bhagavad gatim chatam Ekanta bhakya bhagavatya adhokshaje Niveshitatmo pararama samshrite Pritapya anushrucha dananjayo ditam Nasham yadunam bhagavad gatim chattam Ekanta bhaktya bhagavata adhoksaje Niveshitatmo pararama samshrite Pritha Kunti Api also Anushrucha overhearing Dananjaya Arjun Uditam uttered by Nasham N Yadunam of the Yadu dynasty Bhagavat of the personality of Godhead Gatim disappearance Cha also Tam all those Ekanta unalloyed Bhaktya devotion Bhagavati under the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna Adhoksajay transcendent Niveshita Atma, with full attention. Upararama, became released from. Samshritahe, material existence. Translation purport, Srila Prabhupada. Kunti, after overhearing Arjuna's telling of the end of the Yadu dynasty and disappearance of Lord Krishna, engaged in the devotional service of the transcendental personality of Godhead with full attention, and thus gained release from the course of material existence. The setting of the sun does not mean the end of the sun. It means that the sun is out of sight, out of our sight. Similarly, the end of the mission of the Lord on a particular planet or universe only means that he is out of our sight. The end of the Yadu dynasty also does not mean that it is annihilated. It disappears along with the Lord out of our sight. As Maharaj, you decided to prepare to go back to Godhead, So also Kunti decided, and thus she fully engaged herself in the transcendental devotional service of the Lord, which guarantees one a passport for going back to Godhead after quitting this material, present material body. The beginning of devotional service to the Lord is the beginning of spiritualizing the present body, and thus an unalloyed devotee of the Lord loses all material contact in the present body. The abode of the Lord is not a myth, as is thought by the unbelievers or ignorant people. But one cannot reach there by any material means like a Sputnik or space capsule. But one can certainly reach there after leaving this present body, and one must prepare himself to go back to Godhead by practicing devotional service. That guarantees a passport for going back to Godhead, and Kunti adopted it. So I think many of us probably in this room will admit that this prospect of getting a passport out of this material world was a great impetus to take into Krishna consciousness. I know that it sounded like it, you know, a deal you didn't want to pass up, but here is this nice prasadam, here's nice devotees, nice place to live, something to do all day, nice service, and you get a passport out of this place. Devamrita Swami wrote a book, and he had a nice title, it was called The Great Escape. So many of us could see that this material world is a big struggle, and that we desire something else. And to hear that you could get a passport to Vaikuntha, a place where there's no anxiety, was very attractive, just like Krishna. And it's only in this human form that we can actually apply for this passport. The qualifications mean that we have to have some intelligence and some responsibility. And then we also have to have, most important, is that we want to leave this place. When you go to like a travel bureau, they have beautiful pictures and everything, and you get very attracted. Oh gosh, I really would like to go there, swim in that water, it looks so nice. And you say, yeah, leave this hot old sticky Florida, like, hey, let me go somewhere else. So we have to actually be attracted to the spiritual world and desire to leave this world. But it's a one-way ticket. This passport will only allow one way. So unless you really want to go and not come back, then might as well just wait a few lifetimes. And also, there's no luggage allowance. You can't take anything with you. Garuda doesn't have any room on him to take any luggage, so you just are there with no ego, nothing. So this is the mentality that we have to have. So this intelligence must be engaged in thinking, just like here Kunti is thinking, yes, it's time. It's time for me to go out of this material world. And we can see that all the Pandavas, as soon as they hear that Krishna's not around and that they are being responsible, that their duties are done, Yudhisthira has ruled the kingdom, he's found someone to take over, people are trained. Now, yes, it's time to leave. So here it's saying that they're retired timely. Even Vidura has gone on pilgrimage again. He only stayed for a few minutes and then left, and again left to go on pilgrimage to get ready to make this transition from being materially absorbed to spiritually absorbed. It's not an easy transition. It does take some time. And so therefore the Vedic culture highly recommends that one kind of follow a timetable. They have it's like a chart. 25 years is spent in youth, and then 25 years in your family life, and then 25 years in renunciation. At age 50, you start thinking, yeah, maybe I should leave and become more absorbed spiritually. And then the last years in complete absorption in Krishna. So Krishna has arranged that even your material body is at 50 is like, okay, yeah, ready to to do something different. So we should be ready because we don't know when the time is for us to leave, just like this morning. You know, some little knocking time was knocking on a few people's doors early this morning saying, oh, are you ready? You know, so it's a little scary. We don't know what time it is for us, and it's a different time for everybody. So we have to be prepared. I know whenever I go to the grocery store or something like that, the cashier during this COVID says, be safe. When you leave, you pay, and you go, be safe, be safe. But yes, we have to be safe. But most important is that we're prepared. That we're prepared to leave this world and to leave it comfortably, not be attached. Yes, I can get rid of it. And to actually receive that passport to go back to the spiritual world. It's described that the yogi is actually always thinking that I might die at any moment. So therefore, I have to be in that high state of consciousness. So Prabhupada encouraged us to work our consciousness so that it gets to that state. We've heard about Dhritarashtra leaving already and Gandhari leaving. And now Yudhisthira and Arjuna, they're getting ready to leave. And many of them take this, they meditate and then they take this path. They just leave everything behind. They start walking towards the Himalayas. And it's not like they have their cell phone with them or they have a backpack with, you know, flashlight and one of those $40 Yankee thermoses or whatever they are. And they're not prepared in that way. I mean, they just leave. They just drop everything and they know that now I'm going to leave my body. So here Kunti is, it's described that she's absorbed in thinking, yes, it's time for me to go. Especially a mother doesn't like to still be around and when her children are leaving. So she thinks it's Krishna's calling. It's timely for me to leave. And she says engaging in devotional service. I don't know exactly, maybe someone knows exactly how she left or where she left, or she took the same route as all the other members of the family did. But she's very brave, very, very determined and brave to make that decision. And but she's prepared. She's prepared. She's had that wonderful attachment to Lord Krishna, which it takes. But most people aren't thinking this way, that their intelligence, their human intelligence, is being wasted on some of the other things. Prabhupada says that their brains are packed up with cow dung. And it's really, you know, very descriptive. I deal with cow dung a lot. And you can pack a lot of cow dung in there. You know? People are definitely have it packed in there. No room for any movement of intelligence. So, we have to use our intelligence properly and be prepared. We have our care team, you know, that gives you some help, you know, some physical help. Trying to they've stored some things in my closet over my house, and you know, we've got Pampers for everybody. We've got walking sticks. We've got your wheelchairs and things like that. This is all helpful, but individually, we have to be prepared mentally and spiritually to deal with this transition. And we just was hearing earlier this morning, Prabhupada said, yes, we need to practice this Krishna consciousness, be prepared, and do our exercises of sadhana. Every day, we do our daily exercises of trying to deal with our mind, trying to focus it on Krishna. It goes out, we bring it back. It goes out, brings it back. And it's a good exercise. We should be seeing some advancement in doing that. And then philosophically, we have to be very strong, understand that we're not this body, and also very attached to Krishna, just like we have this festival today and for the next few days. And then we have a lot of festivals coming up. This is all for our benefit. I mean, Krishna has a festival every day in the spiritual world, every minute. for the festival. But for us, it's a chance to become more attached to Krishna, to get, oh, this wind comes closer, and you see Radharani, and you see their faces, and it's such a nice thing, and to actually think, oh gosh, I'm actually swinging the Supreme Lord, how wonderful. What a wonderful opportunity this is. I shouldn't miss it. And you shouldn't miss the opportunity of coming here and doing devotional service like Kunti. As much service as you can fit in. So these are opportunities. And there are so many success stories in our line of people that have been absorbed and left gloriously. And of course, the first person I think of is Haridas Thakur, that he was so absorbed in the holy name, in that association. He didn't even need to go to the temple of Jagannath. He just needed to absorb himself in Harinam, and therefore Namacharya. So we should see that example, that he, even when he got, his health got very bad, what was his lamentation? Oh, I can't finish those 300,000 names of Krishna, you know? I'm just worried about not keeping that vow. How attached he was to Krishna in that way. And of course, his humility. Lord Chaitanya was there glorifying him. There's a whole chapter in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the glories of Haridas Thakur, and then a whole another chapter on the passing of Haridas Thakur. What an example he was. And so humble. Lord Chaitanya was glorifying him, and he's just saying, oh, you know, how insignificant I am. It's just, who cares if an ant dies? You know? I mean, how many we step on? How many are in that garden out there? I swat at every day. You know, insignificant if one little ant's gone. This is the way Haridas Thakur is thinking. So a wonderful example of how to leave. And his only request was that I leave with seeing the beautiful face of Lord Chaitanya. And actually Lord Chaitanya was there and put his feet on Haridas Thakur's chest, and he left in this most wonderful way. And then of course the example of Ajamil getting that second chance, and because he was able to chant the holy name, and Krishna was very kind, gave him another chance. And when he got that chance, what did he do? He didn't go back to his nonsense ways. He immediately headed towards Haridwar and engaged in meditation on Krishna. Same with Bharat Maharaj. He had a couple of chances, and he learned from his lesson. As a deer, he learned from a lesson that I'm just going to hang out with the great saints. And then the next lifetime, what did he do? He pretended like he was deaf and dumb, not have anything to do with the material world. Just like it's described here, that one who's completely absorbed has no connection with the material body. And he was a wonderful example of that. And then there's others also. Bhishma, of course, he had that special benediction of dying when he wanted. Boy, would that be nice to have. But what did he choose? Not a trip to Disney World, you know, and all these other things, bucket list things that people, little kids want to do, you know, before they die. No, he says, I just want to be able to see Krishna. And it has a beautiful description of him, you know, his face like a rising sun and everything. Wonderful description of Krishna. And he got that chance to be able to see Krishna. So this is a cherished desire that we should somehow or other get churning within our hearts. And of course, the big Indian chiefs, you know, the glorious kings and rulers of India, you know, like Katvanga Maharaj, he was a great, powerful leader. And he found out he was going to die, and what did he do? And with 1 or 2 seconds left, I'm going to meditate on Krishna, going to where I can just get set on Krishna consciousness, leaving everything to the side. Same with Parikshit Maharaj, great king of the world. Left it like it's described, like one who passes stool, wants to get away from it as soon as possible. Just leave it aside and get absorbed in hearing about Krishna. And I think it was yesterday, Madhavati gave a nice example of Vritsasura. This is a whole different story. He was going to die. He saw his imminent death with Indra, fighting with Indra. He said, come on, yeah, bring death on, will you? Please, hurry up. Yeah, I'll help you. Here, do this. Kill me, will you? Because I just want to be with Krishna. So this is a wonderful attitude to have, that yes, it's my time, and now, yes, gloriously go back to Krishna. But if not, not having that warning and that death right in front of us, we should at least be prepared and take some steps. Like Vedic culture also is encouraging one to, at the age of 50, to go on pilgrimage, or some way or other become less entangled in the material world. Take an opportunity to visit the holy places and get more association with advanced devotees. But there are some exceptions in the Vedic scriptures who didn't go through the vanapras and sannyas stage. Madhvacharya, at the age of what, 7 or 10, took sannyas and headed off to preach the glories of the Lord. Pretty far out example. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the opposite. He had a very busy household life and jobs and everything, and then not to the very end did he go in samadhi. He went and just got absorbed. That was timely for him. And then Lord Chaitanya was approached by, I think it's Kalidas in South India, who was so attached to Lord Chaitanya. He was a householder, but he wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya. I want to give this up. I want to give it up. I want to go with you, and I want to, become Krishna conscious and renounce this life. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, it's not timely. You go back, take care of your family, and preach on that level. So you can see there's many differences of what might be timely for ourselves, and we definitely do need preachers. It's not like we should all head to the forest, state park, and hang out in the state park somewhere. But we should realize that it's padam padam yad padam. It's very scary. It's a very dangerous place. You don't know when you might have that heart attack. So we should be make our safest place. And what does the scripture say the safest place is? Anybody know? In kirtan. Exactly. So this is where we should somehow or other be in kirtan. Even if it's just inside your body, and it does, it goes inside your body, never leaves. Like you just remember a tune, you'll remember a bhajan you had, something like that, and you'll go to sleep, you'll wake up with the same tune. This is what we're looking for in Krishna consciousness. The more we are in kirtan, the more it'll stay with us, and we'll be in that safest place. So therefore we have to pray for that faith in the strength of the holy name. That we can rely on that holy name and be attracted to the holy names of the Lord. Because that's the key to this passport. In this age, that's what's going to give us the qualifications to go back to Godhead, is to want to hear and chant the holy name. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, within this chapter, I think, it describes that that one has to fly their own airplane at the time of death. We see here, Kunti is deciding herself. She doesn't have her sons to protect her anymore. She doesn't have Krishna to rely on. But she's decided herself that I'm going to finish my time. So she realizes she has to fly it herself. And Prabhupada said that many times, that we should be prepared to do that. To be that advanced and to be that fixed up. So we should take care of proper training. It's described that, when you're going to get a pilot's license, you have to have a lot of on-the-ground training before you go and get in a plane. Because once you're up there, when we're leaving our body, there's no one else we can point to say that, oh, I need some, you know, I can't handle it. Can you do it? Can you do that? This needs to be done. That needs to be done. Or complain about this or complain about that. There's no one to point to. Of course, Srila Prabhupada will be there as our co-pilot. But he's relying on us to be very, very strong. So we need that that training. And if we don't have it, we should somehow or other try to get it. That is the responsibility. We have to be responsible as mature human beings, not only to take care of this temple, this body, but also to take care of our soul. There's an example of Sanatana Goswami. At around this time, I guess it's already passed, but a few months before Ratha Yatra, all the Bengali devotees would actually travel through the Jharkhand forest to get to Orissa. And it would take them a lot of trouble to go through there. I mean, some of us complain of having to drive to Clearwater or Jacksonville for Ratha Yatra. You know, an hour and a half complaining the gas and, oh, it's so far, so long, so late, we'll get delayed. But they had 3 months of walking, you know, and going through these forests. Anyway, Sanatana Goswami, he got in the forest, he got some itching disease, some horrible rash all over his body. And it was so bad that he decided, when I go to Ratha Yatra, I'm going to throw myself in front of the rock cart. I'm just going to end this body. It's just too miserable. And so when Lord Chaitanya heard about that, he said, just a minute, that is not your responsibility. That body is now, it's your responsibility. Let me use it. I've got plans for you. I'm going to send you to Vrindavan. You're going to excavate places. You're going to write books. You're going to spread Krishna consciousness. So you don't have, it is not timely for you. I have plans for you. So we have to be responsible in that way too, that Prabhupada might have some very different plans for us and we don't know what it is, but we should be fully surrendered that in this lifetime, this is dedicated to you. And so that means that we have to take this business of bhakti very seriously, and we could start today. But now it's a little late in the day. Maybe we didn't have our tent of rounds. Maybe we blew it this morning. Maybe we still have some rounds left. And tomorrow, golly, I've got to start cooking for the feast, maybe. No, not tomorrow. I'll get really serious. I'll take that time out and read and chant. And next month, I don't have such a busy schedule. The festivals will be over. But I don't know. It's, you know, I've got some other responsibilities. And next year, on Gaur Purnim, I'll make resolutions to get more serious, right? And I'll really take this up seriously. And besides, I don't have much time left, maybe another 20 years at best, right? So, but yeah, next year. So don't put it off, you know. We can start in any minute, because we don't know when we might get that little knock on the door. So, we need that training on the ground. And actually, if you look at the seven purposes of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, they're all centered around training. The temples are here for training. The sadhana, the preaching is for training others. Everything of the purpose of this movement is for education and to be trained properly in Krishna consciousness. So we should, if we don't feel trained enough, we should do it. We just heard that we can take some online courses. Since we can't go to India or this or that, or can't be with our guru, there's still this facility to be trained and to work on becoming qualified to have that passport to go back to Godhead. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that the Vaishnavas died to live, but living, they spread the whole new world. So this is... should be our motto also, that yes, I should get trained because real life is after death with Krishna, but while I'm here, I should help train others. And that's the most satisfying thing. So these are some thoughts about Queen Kunti, who's getting ready to leave. And there is a time in our Krishna consciousness when we realize that we're not captivated enough to Krishna. We might want to leave here. Yes, I want to leave here, but we're not totally captivated by Krishna. We're not, like, the Pandavas had it easy. Krishna was right there. They got to see the beauty of Krishna every day. We got to touch Krishna every day. So we should realize that we should take advantage of coming here, seeing the deities, take advantage of all the bhajans that describe Krishna so wonderfully. Like Asamati Nanana, we could sing every day here. And become more and more captivated. Look at the pictures and become absorbed in the books, the philosophy. So that our hearts are saturated. So that we do want to go to Krishna. And hearing about Queen Kunti, these are role models. We need those role models to want to be like them, to be attached to Krishna. And finally, then we can try to become very happy in our Krishna consciousness and be satisfied and not lament when we leave, that somehow or other we'll still be engaged in Krishna consciousness. Even as a insignificant ant, doing whatever humble service we can in the temples for Srila Prabhupada's movement. So maybe someone has some comments. And if anyone can explain to me, I know when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I was told that every 7 years your body completely changes, you know, you get a whole new set of senses, and therefore if you just eat prasadam for 7 years, you'll have a spiritual body. Well, guess what? I don't see it. To me, it's looking pretty ugly these days. And it's not feeling so spiritual. Can someone explain that to me? Even here in this purport, it describes that you get a spiritual body. Can anyone explain that? Ah, Shesha's got the answer.
You do have a spiritual body.
And the proof is... It's not visible.
The proof is that all the service you do every day of all different kinds, never refusing anything, going 24 hours a day for so many years. You do have a spiritual body.
It's not feeling very spiritual these days.
The result of it is spiritual.
Well, you got some spiritual eyes. Anybody else have answers? Maybe I need to eat more prasadam. Maybe it's extended Kali Yuga 3 times, maybe 21 years, maybe. Just don't eat enough.
Akutipa, what you were mentioning about, you know, our tendency, which is true, that, oh, I'll surrender tomorrow, I'll surrender next year.
Yeah.
It's just because I think, at least for myself, it's like so many different areas to surrender. Oh, we have to do this, we have to surrender this way and that way, and it's like, okay, forget it, you know. But could you, what is your advice if I ask you, okay, give me one thing that I could, like, really focus on or surrender, what would that be? No, don't give a big general term.
Okay.
Just give something focused.
They're saying not to come on Vyas Puja, but you know what? We need help. You know, usually we have a big team of people to roll the preparation, you know, that Papa really likes. And we're not going to have anyone if no one comes. And we're going to be like 3 of us in there rolling 1,000 so-and-sos. So practically speaking, can you come and bring some people with you?
Sure. Okay. If that will make me surrender, I will definitely do that.
We need some surrendered people to come, even though you're not allowed to come to the kitchen and help make these feasts for 1,000 some of people. Okay.
I'll do that.
Okay, thanks.
Sounds good.
Anybody else want to sign up? Yeah, there's a lot, like she said, behind the scenes that, you know, all the prasadam they pick up out there.
Thank you so much for a nice class. Can you please elaborate on the last moments of Mother Kunti?
I asked if anyone else knew. Actually, I don't really know. That's why I asked the question. If anyone knows how she left, if she followed the road to the Himalayas? Or it says it's devotional service here. I don't know what devotional service.
There's one version that
speaking.
That she went with Vidura, Dhritarashtra, and Madhvana, and Gandhari. That was the understanding. And during the forest fire, they all got annihilated there. Yeah, there. When the Pandavas went to the Himalayas, there is no account of her going with them. So, so that might seem the most practical way that she actually went with Vidura.
Imagine how tense that was to know that you're all going that way. And I think Gandhara was the first one to go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, to know that, okay, who's next? Who's next? That's, we should be thinking that way. Who's next? You know, it could be me. So we should become serious today. Hare Krishna, Guru Shri Prabhupada.